Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to part two of the Christmas special. So this is another fun chat about a very important topic associated with Christmas. Is Christmas really coming earlier every year? Now this is strictly speaking not an economics question but rather a statistics question, but I think it's one listeners of the podcast will find very interesting. I'm joined by Nathan Cunningham, a statistician and data scientist who has just completed his PhD in statistics at Warwick University. Nathan is a cool guy who in his spare time uses the complicated statistical methods from his day job to shed some light on some of life's more fun questions, like, is Christmas coming earlier every year? We have a fun chat about Nathan's study, which has been covered by a number of media outlets in recent years, and I think there's something here for everyone. The data nerds listening will love to hear how he answers the question, and if you're like me, you'd be dying to hear whether many of our suspicions have been confirmed regarding Christmas coming earlier. We also go into other very important questions such as, when did the golden age of The Simpsons end? And Nathan gives us his insight on that. So this is strictly speaking a statistics question, but in the spirit of the Christmas special and to have a bit of fun, Nathan is going to help us with a question that's always on a lot of our minds, but we never really thought about in much detail. Is Christmas really coming earlier every year? So Nathan, great to have you here on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, maybe we could start off by just thinking about what was the inspiration for your idea?
So I guess it's obviously extremely important question. It's something that it comes up every single year. So in my time when I was looking back, trying to find out if other people had answered this question, I came across, it's incredible the consternation that it generates in people.
Yeah.
So I came across, it was a Daily Mail article that opened with the headline. It was a quote from someone, I'm not sure who it was, but it was, "It's not even Halloween, you heathens."
Yeah.
And this is, the typically level-headed Daily Mail.
Yeah, absolutely.
Generating this sort of anger to people starting Christmas too early. But it's not even a modern phenomenon. Again, I came across a newspaper clipping from the 50s of somebody bemoaning Christmas coming too soon, and that the usual complaints that it would spoil how special Christmas is.
Yeah.
So it's something that's been, it's been on our minds for a long time.
Yeah.
So I wanted to obviously try, set out to give some kind of answer to the question.
Sure, yeah. So it got the statistical cogs turning in your brain, I suppose. And where did you come from thinking about it like that and then saying, well, maybe we can put some evidence to the claim that Christmas is coming early every year?
Yeah, so as a data scientist or a data junkie, I had to try to find some data that would, give some evidence to whether or not this was actually happening or not. I wasn't happy just to accept that, our own notion about it coming earlier was actually accurate, because obviously if as I said about the newspaper talking about it in the 50s, if Christmas has been coming earlier since the 50s,
yeah,
then, we should be celebrating it year round at this stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And, unfortunately, that's not the case, but... I wanted to see if there was any evidence to it, so I tried to find some data on the topic, So really what I tried to think was, you know, what do we mean by the Christmas spirit? Like how might we quantify that?
Right.
So obviously at Christmas time we do Christmassy things.
Yeah.
You know, we do things like we watch Christmas films, we buy Christmas gifts, or we listen to Christmas music. And more and more these days, those things are done online, and they're, you know, they can be represented by data online.
Yeah.
So luckily, Google provides this tool called Google Trends, which gives a breakdown of search volume for particular search terms. So you imagine you could ask how frequently was the term Santa Claus searched for, and you can get a kind of series of data over time, which will obviously show some peaks at Christmas time and then troughs throughout the rest of the year. It's not exact data, so you don't get an exact number of how many people, but you can kind of look at the relative search volume over time, so you can see where it goes up and where it goes down, you know, the relative magnitudes. So this tool, so Google have used these kinds of data before. So there's a tool they used to use called Google Flu Trends, where Google used to use people's search volume. So say searches for things like, you know, GPs nearby, or, you know, what to do if you have a cough or something like that. And they would use that to predict the outbreak of a flu in a particular area. So at the beginning, they had some really good success with this. And it kind of became this like kind of poster boy of the big data age. So this was quite a long time ago now.
So people were looking for where GPs were and was able to tell them where the searches were going on, or
so Google, so they had their own internal data. This wasn't, I guess, data that was coming out,
all right,
to the general public, but they would be able to see that, well, here is a region in which a lot of people are, say, searching for their GP nearby, or they're searching for, you know, remedies for a cough,
right?
And then Google will be able to say, well, there's going to be an outbreak coming in this area, and able to do this better than. So I think the Center for Disease Control had different methods for doing so, and
okay.
Google, at least at the beginning, were able to do this more successfully or more promptly than the other methods. And so the data does to some extent reflect what we see, or, you know, what's kind of actually happening in reality. It's not completely divorced from that. Although ultimately they shut down the tool because it wasn't quite given the accuracy that people were looking for.
Okay, that's actually really encouraging when you think about big data and some of the negative things that could happen. So there's a lot of positive things. But then, so you were, that was inspiration then to look at some of the other data that Google have, use that as an indicator for the question of, well, is Christmas coming earlier? So a lot of the search terms will be an indication of, well, this is when the Christmas spirit is picking up.
Yeah, so what I looked at, so what you can actually do is you can break down so searches for kind of different types. So you can do what was the search volume for, say, web results or image results, but also you can get it broken down by YouTube results.
Right.
So what I did was I picked out a list of kind of evergreen popular Christmas songs.
Yeah.
And got the data broken down by year for each of these songs for when people were searching for particular songs. So the songs I chose were kind of, you know, the classics like I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day by Wizard, or All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. Fairy Tale of New York, although that's maybe not such an evergreen popular at the minute. But
yeah, well, the period of analysis, it was relevant.
yeah. So it was, I got the data for each of these songs, plus a few others from 2011 to 2018.
Right.
And what we get is a day-by-day breakdown for each of these songs. So I picked the period just from the start of May till the end of December for each year.
Right.
I guess I wanted to kind of cut out January, because there may be a bit of a kind of Christmas hangover of people still just don't want to let go of the Christmas songs just yet.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, maybe there could be an argument for it happening still in February, but there's no way people are still listening to Christmas songs in May.
Yeah.
At least not to the effect it should impact the data or impact the analysis.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as I was saying, you get a day-by-day breakdown for each song.
Yeah.
you just get a number between sort of 1 and 100. So 100 is the peak popularity of that song, and then 1 is right. the minimum. So you can kind of look, you can see where the peaks are, and it's you know, it follows the obvious trends that kind of very little, not nobody, but very few people are searching for the Christmas songs from May to, say, October, November.
Yeah.
And then November, December, it really sort of picks up, and the songs start getting a lot more popular.
So the range is 0 to 100. It's like so you get a relative feel of how popular they are. You don't get the absolute searches then. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's you have to work with that, I suppose.
Yeah. So once you have this data, there's still the problem of saying, well, when did Christmas actually start? So there's I guess a lot of approaches that you could use for this. So one of them would be this things like Bayesian change point detection methods. My own background in my PhD and my master's was in cluster analysis, so I kind of tend to think of things in that framework. So the way you could look at it is you could imagine that search volume at Christmas time and search volume the rest of the year belong to two distinct distributions. We can assume that at Christmas time, the data follow what I'm going to call it's the normal distribution with a certain mean or a certain average value. And the rest of the year, they're going to follow another normal distribution, but with a different mean and a different, perhaps a different standard deviation.
So you're trying to fit each the Christmas period and the before Christmas period into a distribution, and the assumption is that they both come from different distributions, and you're trying to figure out where do we move from one distribution to the other.
Exactly. So one of the things that complicates cluster analysis, I guess, is that there's really just such a surprising number of ways that you can actually assign groups into, or assign a group of observations into different clusters.
Right.
So if you imagine if you just have 10 data points and you want to split them into two groups,
yeah,
there's 1,024 different ways that you can split those into two groups. So it tends to complicate the analysis. So you kind of normally have to come up with kind of clever ways of trying to pick out the most likely clustering allocations. In this case, however, we can benefit from implementing a constraint in the analysis. So I can't speak for everyone here, but I know that when I pit up my Christmas tree, I keep it up until Christmas is over. I don't, you know, pit it away and then take it back up at the weekends and then keep pitting it away. You know, it's kind of once you get into the Christmas spirit, you kind of stay there until Christmas is over. So what that does is that it really limits the number of different possibilities that we have. So all we're really trying to find out is when did Christmas start in a particular year. So I consider just the analysis of on a year-by-year basis. So we just try to pick out, well, which day did Christmas start?
So that's really clever. So that's a nice little trick to really reduce the amount of search space or the potential solutions.
Exactly.
To try and make the problem a bit simpler.
Yeah. So it's lucky that it just aligns with reality as well.
Yeah, sure.
So it really made my life a lot easier for this.
Yeah.
So really what I ended up doing, rather than trying to do anything clever, I just basically brute forced the answer. I tried I assumed Christmas started at every single day of the year and worked out which of those was the most likely. So say we assume that Christmas starts on December 1st. Then we calculate the mean or the average search volume for each of the different Christmas songs during this period. Right. And we can calculate the mean search volume for all the Christmas songs from the start of the year until when we say Christmas starts off, so until the end of November. And then we can calculate the likelihood of each of the data points that we observed throughout the way, given these mean and standard deviation values that we have. And then we can multiply these all together. And then that gives a single number which says this is how likely it is that all these data arise from these two distributions with these parameters. And that gives kind of a number which says this is how likely it is that Christmas began on this particular day. Right. Okay. So we take this process, we do it every single day of the year. And we work out, we get a day which says this is when Christmas starts.
Okay, so you calculate that process for every possible day that Christmas could start, and then you try and figure out which is the most likely.
Exactly. So we do that for each of the years. So I did it from 2011 through to 2018. And for each year, then there's a one day that comes out as the day when Christmas starts.
Okay, so you did it for Christmas songs, but you've tried it for other search terms as well.
So have you, when I did this originally, so I've been doing this analysis kind of once a year for the last I think 5 years now.
It's like it's like a rock band who has one song it's their hit that they're trying to shy away from. This is your Creep.
Exactly. I'm the Mariah Carey of the statistics yeah. world. Just get trot out every year at Christmas. So when I did it originally, I'd kind of just taken a kind of general collection of Christmas-related terms.
Right.
I think at the time you weren't able to filter by YouTube searches.
Okay.
So it was just general web searches. So I put in things like, you know, Santa Claus or elves or I put in some Christmas films and some Christmas songs.
Right.
Part of what... So I had to... I don't want to say retract. That's probably too strong a term for such a trivial analysis. But I had to definitely revise some of the results after.
Okay.
Because I was kind of... it kind of overstated some of the results.
Right.
So one of the issues, I guess, that comes up with those terms... Now, this wasn't exactly what caused the results to be wrong. That's kind of more of a technical thing to do with the data. But some of the things you need to be kind of aware of is, so say if you put in something like Elf, which you assume is just a Christmas song,
yeah,
or not a Christmas song, but a Christmas term or a Christmas yeah. film. In fact, one of the years that I analyzed, I think one of the Lord of the Rings films came out, so okay. there was a big spike in searches for Elf related terms. So that's obviously gonna, you know, yeah. influence the data at some point. I mean, you would think it should get kind of washed out by all the other terms,
okay.
but it can still have a bit of an impact.
So Christmas. Oh, so you said you can filter by YouTube. So your YouTube or your search terms for Christmas songs were YouTube specific. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's actually a lot more believable that it's to do with the Christmas spirit. It's unlikely that people would be searching them on YouTube. Outside of Christmas, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some, you know, you would expect it just to be a flat line up until, you know, at least October, but there's definitely
a bit of
activity all throughout the year for all the songs, right, which okay. is incredible, especially when, you know, when you're only seeing kind of a percent of the maximum.
Oh, yeah.
You're still seeing up to maybe 10% of the maximum, even in June or July,
right, okay.
which is...
That's interesting.
Just, yeah.
Okay, so maybe we can talk about the results then. So what did you find when it came to Christmas coming earlier?
So there was definitely some evidence that Christmas is coming earlier. I was actually really, personally, I was kind of disappointed to find this out. I wanted to be the person that said, no, that's wrong. The data says otherwise, but
right.
there's actually been some evidence that Christmas has been coming earlier over the years. So kind of 2011 to 2013 or 2014,
yeah.
The date that I found for when Christmas started was kind of, it started off at the 9th, then the 11th, then the 8th, then the 6th.
Of December.
Of November.
Okay.
After that, so we have 2015 to 2017.
Right.
It stayed at a solid the 1st of November. So we've pushed it back by a few days.
Okay.
And it seems like a kind of sensible cutoff because Halloween's the day before. So it seems like that's when people accept the Christmas should start.
Yeah, sure.
But actually now, last year in 2018, we moved it back another 2 days. So
To before Halloween.
Right. So the date I got for 2018 was October 30th.
Okay, right.
So we've actually jumped past Halloween and we started getting into the Christmas spirit even ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting because this year before Halloween, I did actually get a more of a sense of Christmas maybe, but that's just purely anecdotal. But now it seems the data is backing up that feeling.
Exactly. So it's, I mean, I thought when I did this before, I included things like, you know, people searching for Santa Claus. So maybe at the time, it could have, if I'd done the analysis that way, there might have been some kind of, maybe an argument to be made that people were searching for Santa Claus costumes for Halloween.
Right.
But I think with this, with people searching for Christmas songs before Halloween, there's kind of it's a bit harder to explain, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It was interesting. I looked at some of the other. So the search terms I used were just, or the search volume was just in the UK.
Okay.
So I tried it with Ireland, but the data was a bit more erratic, I guess, just a smaller sample size.
Sure.
But I looked at the US also, just when I was thinking about how it seemed as though Christmas started in just after Halloween, because, you know, that seems like a kind of natural break point, whereas in the US they have Thanksgiving as the more obvious breakpoint to kind of start thinking about Christmas afterwards. But actually, their results actually were aligned with ours, or with the UK's, that they began thinking about it kind of in and around the start of November also.
Okay, so it seems then definitely that there is evidence of Christmas coming earlier every year, and it's been pushed back to maybe the first week of November, to the first few days of November, to the last year or so, just the last few days of October.
Yeah.
And so one thing then, so the statisticians might say, well, there is a trend, but it's like, is this difference statistically significant? If you did like a sort of a Monte Carlo simulation of if you could draw out years, would we get natural variation like this?
Yeah, so that's definitely it's something that I haven't really looked into. It's such a small sample size. It's only 6 or 7 data points, so it's kind of hard to really say anything concrete about what's happening.
But the trend is in the right direction, I suppose.
The trend is certainly in the right direction, but there's, I guess there's kind of different interpretations that could be drawn from the data, even kind of ignoring whether there's any statistical significance. There may be, it may not be that we're feeling Christmassy earlier in the year. It may be perhaps, say, the people that are using Google or using YouTube are, you know, it's a different demographic perhaps now. Maybe the people that get into the Christmas spirit earlier in the year are just, they represent a greater share of the people who use YouTube now.
Okay, that's interesting.
So maybe that, say, perhaps your parents or your grandparents who may not have been so keen on YouTube, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, are now, and you know, who have to maybe think about Christmas a bit earlier because maybe they've, you know, kids to be thinking about, that maybe they're now using YouTube a lot more, so that they're kind of dominating the results a lot more than they were 4 or 5 years ago. So this, I mean, I certainly wouldn't want to hold my hands up and say that this is the absolute is a bulletproof answer, but it's just, you know, it's a bit of fun.
Yeah. And so you have a blog that does like a lot of fun questions like this as well, but in terms of data, and you applied this method looking at Simpsons and the cutoff point for when Simpsons its golden age ended.
I did basically exactly the same analysis, but I, instead of Google search terms, it was IMDb episode ratings for The Simpsons. So I'm a massive Simpsons fan, so this was another very important question to me that I had to really dig into. I guess it's the same sort of idea that we're trying to, we have a group of episodes who have a mean episode rating kind of somewhere, say, in and around, I think it was around 8.5 or something like that. And then we have another group of episodes where the mean is somewhere kind of mid-7s. So still not bad, but definitely a bit of a slump from the early days.
Yeah, sure.
So again, I did the same thing of just brute forcing the answer, because there was just no point trying to do anything more complicated, because you can, you know, this can run in a couple of seconds on the computer.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I've got the exact episode, but I think it was season 10, episode 11 maybe was when the golden age ended.
All right,
so
okay.
if you're you know, someone who's just never got into The Simpsons, that's, you know,
don't go past
season 10, episode 11.
Okay, fair enough. That's actually good advice, definitely. And I'd highly recommend checking out Nick. What's the web address for your blog?
So it's nathancunn.com, so CUNN.
Okay. Yeah, so there's some cool things there, like when best to book your Ryanair, or when to check in for your Ryanair flight. That's one I definitely took on board.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Nathan, I think that's pretty much it. So thanks very much for
thanks for having me now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.